Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 months, plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show and I'm Tim Fuel, back with twin co-hosts for the first time in a while. First up, a man still fighting off the germs so we can hear those dulcet tones, Mr. FC United Radio, Swampy, and proving they are not one and the same person, our very own managerial guru, formerly of AFC Wimbledon, and many more, Mr. Dave Anderson. Good evening, gentlemen. How are we both?
Go on, Swampy.
Oh, so they're both back, and they're proving they're actually the same person.
I was letting you go first, Dave, because you've not been on for a couple of weeks, so I thought you could say hello first, and then I could say hello after that. But too late, I'm in. Good evening to all the listeners, and an interesting week for FC United. Fourth from bottom, absolutely drubbed last week, 6-0. At Harrogate Town, full time. It really does prove what full time football can do for football clubs nowadays. Even at our standard, we were absolutely put to the sword. We're not playing well. We've not scored a goal in, I think, 5 to 7 games. We've not got a point. We've got a big task ahead of us on Saturday against Boston, the resurgent Boston. But this league is amazing. We're currently, if we win on Saturday, we go mid-table to 14th, and with a win on Tuesday, we'll go to about 12th, and we'll be safer. But at the moment, we're only 3 points off the drop, which is a bit concerning.
That's after the sort of revamp. You know, you sort of picked up a bit, didn't you? After
I mean, without that month of games against all the top teams, we would be relegated. We would now be pretty second bottom. So, you know, he did a great job, and the players did a great job, but when you lose, I mean, we lost two of our best players, really, I think. And both have actually just been signed up to the England C team. So it gives you an idea. When you lose that kind of quality, and one of us is centre forward, and he scores 25 goals in the season already, you know you're gonna miss him. But we are where we are, and we've got to get ourselves out of it. And hopefully we can do that with the young players that we brought in on loan from from Fleetwood, but it's going to be a tall order. But we start on Saturday.
Yeah, good.
Well, then should we have a quick run over some of the news of the week? There's some good news for Cray Wanderers. It seems that their plans for a new ground of their own, the delightfully named Flamingo Park. Looking forward to that one. That the plans have finally been accepted by Bromley Council, so they'll be hoping planning permission and the breaking of ground is now not too far away. With so many matches lost in recent weeks as well due to the weather, the FA appear to be giving special dispensation to various leagues to extend their seasons. The Cheshire League have announced that their season will now run until the 26th of May this year. Dave, it might be great news for ground toppers, but what about for players and managers? How's that work with the contracts?
Well, I think contracted players, it finishes, off the top of my head, it's about a 40-week contract unless you're full-time. That means that they extend the division. And I've always said it should be in there to extend it. It means that the clubs have to find the budget for another week or whatever amount of time that they decide. So clubs have to find that. The players, you know, most of them will have planned what they're going to do after the season holiday ways. But I would guess that at any level, surely you've got to stick around. It's one of them, Tim. If the clubs can afford it, it's a good thing. That's where my fear is, that the clubs expecting to come up with another 2 weeks' money, for instance. But because I've been in a situation where you're playing three games a week, four games a week, you know, to get it in, and it just becomes a farce and isn't right. So this is something to have a look at, you know. I would also like to say, if I can, that I'm delighted for Cray Wanderers. Had many great games against them. In fact, a lot of people down there I know and get on great with. They actually, when I was at Wimbledon, when we had the record, Cray beat us on our 79th game. Cray Wanderers beat us. So I must like him if I still hold him in high esteem. But I'm, I'm delighted for them, and they've stuck at it. And you know, please, it all goes all right. It's great news.
I think just going back to what you were talking about there, guys, in relation to the Cheshire League, I think in writing saying I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure that there'll be no contracted players playing for the clubs at that level. And equally, you'll probably find that quite a number of players are probably playing for nothing as yeah. well. Some players will be being paid. So I suppose it makes it a little bit easier to a degree when a league can make that decision based upon knowing that clubs aren't going to be financially put in peril. I think it's when you go further up, and I think we've seen, you know, the further up the chain you go, the less likely you're getting leagues to make decisions to extend, and I suppose for all those financial reasons. But I think there's something to be said about perhaps changing it around a little bit. I know we've had the conversation on many occasions about, you know, summer football, and obviously 3G pitches are something now, and 4G pitches are coming and getting better and better, so that might alleviate some. But it's a conversation that will carry on, I think, for a long time. And you're right, Dave, 4 or 5 games in, you know, in a week or so is very, very destructive for any football club ordinarily, and it can kill a season very, very quickly. And it's not the fault of the players, the fans, the management. It's the elements, and you can't do a great deal against that.
No.
Yeah, even with those season extensions, there's not long left of the season, but the managers still come and go. I've just seen today Alex Pike has been sacked for the second time this season at Gosport Borough, because they're still bottom of the Southern Premier. At Glossop North End, joint managers Paul Phillips and Steve Halford, they've left to become the new team at Northern Premier League Buxton FC. And at Aylesbury FC, after the recent resignation of Davis Hall, Kevin Paul, I don't know whether the rhyme was intentional or not, has taken over at Southern League East Division side. When's the last managerial change you think we're going to see this season, boys?
Probably a wee before the end of the season. I mean, the one I can tell you about is the Glossop North End one. I mean, Paul Phillips and Steve Halford did a terrific job at Ashton United for a long period, going to the playoff semi-finals. 3 years on a bounce to go into the National League North, but didn't quite come off for them, and went over to Glossop North End and done a decent job. Glossop now at a stage of the season where they're safe. They were looking at promotion. It's not going to quite happen for them. And Buxton are that mid table and are safe as well. McIntosh, the manager, the second longest manager they had at Buxton, left about a month and a half ago, and his assistant has been holding the reins. And they've come in at a right time that they can maybe have a month and a half at the club, you know, setting out the stall for next season. But I think from a managerial position, I think you can find managers probably going right up to the end, and maybe, you know, we'll see that. I don't know. See what Dave thinks.
To be fair, the one thing that managers would be, if you're going to go into a football club, the first thing you'd be looking at now is the 31st of March, because that's deadline day. And if you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna go into a club and bring some players in, it gives you what we got, 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Yeah.
So that would be something that people would be aware of, because effectively, if it goes past that date, and the other thing is that if you are going to sign players that at a lower level when you go in, when 7-day notices have to be put out, then that has to happen quite quickly now, doesn't it? Because you know, that takes another week out of the equation.
But Dave, as a manager yourself and been in the game for such a length of time, if you joined a football club and you knew the stability was there, you weren't going up, you weren't going down, would you just stick with the players you've got to the end of the season, and then when there's an abundance of players available, look to change it around then rather than change it within the next two weeks? Yeah,
absolutely. It's very rarely that managers leave, be sacked, because the team's in mid-table. So what tends to happen, Swamps, is that there'll be vacancies come up now because people have been sacked. So whoever's coming in will be looking to make changes, you know, quickly. If you can take over a club that's mid-table, knocking up, knocking down, you can sail into the sunset till the end of the season and have a proper look at the squad you've got. But some people won't be in that position. Some people will be in the position where they need points to keep them in the level they're at, and they'll be being brought in given the chairman, sort of said to the chairman that, you know, if I come in, I'll keep you up. You know, guarantees is the word I'm looking for. They'll have given guarantees as to what they're going to be and where they're going to be. So that on most occasions, Swampy, I do understand that there are times when, like the lads at Glassford, was it Glassport in our North End, leaving the club's okay, then but that's a rarity. It tends to be last throw of the dice, get someone in. And I always say that, you know, the first four games when a new guy comes in, he can be Charlie Caroli. If he comes in, he gets a reaction for four games because the guy's sort of, I don't know, it's just a natural thing. It's always happened. After that, you're judged on what you are. But I always think the more experienced you are, it's never an easy decision to make at this time of year. I think when you're younger and hungrier, you'll gamble. Do you know what I mean?
Enough of the doom and gloom of the manager's game. So, after what seems like weeks of stories about clubs in the doldrums, we've not forgotten any of those, and we'll still keep a close eye on developments up and down the country, various clubs in trouble and looking to make some changes. We thought it was about time to celebrate some good times in the world of non-league. It's semi-finals time in the FA Trophy and the FA Vase this weekend. First legs of the two-legged semis and some of the biggest games of their history for the clubs involved. One club busy preparing for the Saturday visit of National South Wealdstone, our National Northside Brackley Town. And to tell us how things are going, Manager and Director at Brackley, Janine Butters, joins us on the line. Good evening, Janine.
Oh, good evening.
Now, is this the biggest game in your club's history?
Yes, it is. I mean, this is the furthest we've got in the FA Trophy. And it's all exciting time for us.
Yeah, and I've seen you've already, the second leg is obviously next Saturday. And there's already two coaches already booked for that second leg down at Wealdstone for your fans. It's really captured the imagination of the fans in the town, hasn't it?
It certainly has. We've had some good rounds in the FA Cup rounds in the past, and we've been on BT Sport and things like that. So that just generates a lot of interest. But this is history for Brackley, and it puts Brackley Town on the map because we are a very, very small club.
Yeah, and for people that don't know even where Brackley is, what can you tell us about Brackley as a town?
Oh, it's a very small market town. There's a population of about 16,000. So when you look at our attendances, although they look rather small, when you look at percentage terms, we actually get quite a good fan base for the size of the town, because obviously we're surrounded by Oxford, MK, Northampton, and obviously there's obviously bigger clubs around in those areas. So yeah, it's an exciting it's a nice town, but very small.
Yeah, no, I'd like to ask you the obvious question, and I know it's a stupid question, and I know it, but I just love asking it when you're in this situation. Promotion or the trophy?
Both. Come on, Brian. I mean, we're sitting very comfortable at third place at the moment, but anything could happen. We've still got eight games left.
Yeah, you've only got the choice of one. Janine, you've only the choice of one. What one would you take? Come on.
Oh, God. We'll say the trophy.
Okay.
All the opportunity for the players to play at Wembley.
New outfits, a trip to Wembley. Yeah.
Everybody wants the chance to go to Wembley, don't they?
And sorry, Swampy, but on a serious note, it becomes a. It can be a strain on the squad now, all of a sudden, because two, you know, doing really well in the league, looking like can make playoffs, which is massive. Involved in the semis of the trophy. Is your squad big enough to deal with that?
We've got a very tight squad, and obviously we are part time, so these boys that work full time. But Kevin seems to have selected very well. I'm not saying it's easy for them because it isn't. Legs get a little bit tired every now and again, but we stand a chance. We stand a chance.
Yeah. Well, he's no stranger to Wembley, is he?
And he certainly isn't. He certainly isn't. And hopefully we'll be back there again. Hopefully. But you know what football's like. Anything can happen. I was at Wembley yesterday in a community meeting and I met up with one of the directors from Wealdstone there. We were just looking at that pitch thinking, oh, is it going to be us or is it going to be Wealdstone on the day?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Swampy.
Yeah, well, Janine, first of all, congratulations getting this far. I mean, a huge victory and a very good victory against Stockport County in the last round, which I know both teams being in the same division, you've played each other on a few occasions, and two managers with pedigree and with Wembley history behind them. Obviously, I've been down to at your ground. The one thing I will say, you've got a very, very nice cricket pitch at the side of your ground. If I'm right, am I right to say that's cricket?
Yes.
Pitch to the side, and also very, very beautiful to watch. Red kites flying all over the place, which is always a very nice thing to see at a football match. But on a serious note, four big wins on the bounce now for you, and looking at the record this season, a really tight unit. Is it the defending this season that's been the forte that have got you where you are this season, both in the league and obviously in the cup?
I really do believe so. I'm not really speaking out of turn here. If you speak to Kevin, I would say we've got one of the best defences in the league, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, I think it's 23 or 28 goals conceded all season, and very, very tight. And the one thing that you do know with the team that you're going to be playing against is if you get ahead, teams find it very, very difficult to break you down. You've got a lot of young exuberance, but you've got a lot of professional, even though in a semi-professional manner, kind of players in the team, haven't you?
We have, and you know that's what Kevin breeds through the team. Gareth Dean, our skipper of the team, he's a very focused young man, and the boys look up to him as well as Kevin, and you know Martin and David Staff, the other part of the management team. So we've got a very tight bond in there this season, and that's been growing over the last couple of seasons since Kevin joined us, and it seems to be paying off at the moment.
And currently, obviously, you know, in that playoff position, just behind both Harrogate Town, who gave us an absolute pummeling on Saturday, 6-0, and Salford City, the two teams at the beginning of the season, together with maybe the likes of Kidderminster and a couple of others that are actually full time, that everyone was thinking would be up there. We played you obviously the very first game of the season, and you the thing is, people, you've been there all season. You've never left the top five, have you? All through the season.
No, we've stood really, really strong this season. We just hope that continues.
And in your role, Janine, as the MD of the club, you're the heartbeat of the club, really. You're there, you know, pretty much every day, I would have thought, on a daily basis. Yeah, what do big games like this mean? Has the atmosphere changed throughout the club this week?
Yeah, of course it has. Obviously, we've had some other good moments. I mean, I've been involved with the club for 5 years now. And these are the moments that, you know, you can't take lightly and not forget. You know, this is history for Brackley Town and all the years that Brackley has had the football club. And fans are just so supportive. They're getting behind us. They're excited. I mean, we are, like I said, only small, very, very part-time. We usually only open our club shop on a match day because everybody's so excited. They want to buy all their last-minute merchandise. So we've got the club shop open tonight. And there's all those kind of things. It's just people just, you know, getting behind us. It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, and although the town is small, you know, they're all talking about it on the high street. And that is really great for the town.
I think that helps. I think that togetherness and that sort of group where everybody is properly involved, the town's properly involved, that's what it's all about for me. I think that will help you. Don't get me wrong, Wealdstone live around, I could throw a stone nearly and smash a window in the clubhouse at Wealdstone. It's only around the corner from me. And they're very much the same. They've a big crowd, but they're now like a smaller group where they've had their ups and downs over the years. So it's going to be one, as much as someone's going to break their heart, I think it's brilliant that one of the two of them is going to be in the final, you know?
Yeah, no, it's great. It is really good.
I was going to ask about your day on Saturday. What time are you planning on getting to the club then, Janine?
On a Saturday, usually I get there between about 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, because obviously, you know, rivers being small, we rely on volunteers. So, you know, everything gets done that Saturday morning with regards to match day passes, making sure any reserve system needs to be put in place, making sure that the head steward's there with his car park attendants and getting the stewards ready, opening the clubhouse, making sure all the bar's ready to sell all the real ale and the beer over the bar. It's endless, really. It's, you know, a start to finish day. I don't tend to leave until way after the game. And also we have functions in the clubhouse as well. So as soon as a game is finished, it's then clearing down and setting it up for evening trade as well. So yeah, it gets a bit hustly and bustly. We're expecting a reasonable crowd for our club on Saturday, hoping for at least 1,500. So, and that is a good turnout on the day if that does happen. We just keep an eye on the weather at the moment, though, to make sure that everything's okay, because we've had, you know, quite a lot of rain this week.
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll get the game on, and hopefully it'll be it'll set itself up for the following weekend as well. It's a strange one playing the same team that the following week as well, isn't it?
Yeah, we're very used to this now, though, because we played Stockport County three games back to back as well, which was a really strange feeling to do that, really.
Well, we wish you well at the weekend and the following weekend and for the rest of the season. Yeah. And it's been lovely talking to you. It's always nice to get a different perspective from a football club, you know, from someone that works every day, you know, with this thing that we'd love to call non-league and gets us all excited. So thank you for joining us, Janine, and best of luck.
Thank you. Good evening, guys.
Yeah, good luck, Janine. I would say as well, Tim, that... she's talking about the weather, you know, being heavy all week. I think there's more chance of the game going ahead at Brackley because there's snow forecast around here for the weekend, you know?
Yes, it's snow. It's not old-fashioned snow, though, is it? I've seen it like up to 1 centimetre, you know. Back in the day, Dave, I'm sure you must have been out there, you know, with your orange football. Where are the orange footballs nowadays? You know,
I know.
They wouldn't shine up against the boots, would they?
No, it's true, but it's one of them. I suppose I'll have to sway with my local team, but I'm just delighted that one of the two of them will make the final. You know, and that's easy to say on the outside because obviously someone will be heartbroken to get this far and lose out, but. I think there'll be good games. I think maybe the first half an hour will be cagey, but after that the game will open up because you have to have a goal, you know.
Yeah, and they're a decent team, as I say. They've been there all season, and the one thing that they've got, and I'm sure their opposition, I've seen this, is they can defend. They can defend as a unit. They get players in the right positions. I listened to the interview that Jim Gannon gave after their defeat in the game. And he just said, you know, once they get their noses in front, they're very hard to break down. Everyone knows the role and responsibility, and they do it to the letter of the law and what their manager wants them to do. And Kevin's
so,
got
so
them
Swampy, yeah, yeah. Swampy, could that could because normally as a manager, you like to have the second leg at home, but that's the way they are. It might actually help them because they'll go. Try and get their advantage in the home game, and then they're capable of going to Wilston and trying to shut shop. Is that what you're saying?
They're not a team that will shut up shop. They're a team that will go out and play, but once they get the noses in front, they just won't allow you to break them down. They like to go out and score goals. They like to win games. That's why they are where they are in the division. And as I say, as a true semi pro club. In the division that we're currently in, they've done fantastically well. But as I say, we played them at the very beginning of the season, and then we got a respectable draw against them at our place. But they're a good outfit. They're a team that you can understand why they are where they are in the league, and you can understand why they've got so far in the cup because the way they play. It'll be an interesting game. I think it'll be a good game as well. In all fairness, and there'll be two managers really. Making sure that they get their best out of their players on both matches.
Well, if Janine at Brackley felt under pressure to get her preparations done on time, what about Bromley, who only secured their place in the semis on Wednesday evening with a win in their rearranged quarter-final at Spennymoor Town? The 2-1 victory sets up an all-conference national tie this weekend in the semi-final first leg as Bromley host Gateshead. To tell us how preparations are going, Bromley skipper Jack Collins joins us on the line. Good evening, Jack.
Good evening. How are you doing?
I'm good. You've had quite a busy week then.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a hectic week for us, obviously, with the rearrangements and the travelling, but it was good to get the game out of the way and look forward to Saturday.
And did you have to put some like preparations into place before you even played that game on Wednesday, so that, you know, psychologically, how does that work when you know that you've got an even bigger game coming up on the Saturday?
With us personally, I think the team as a whole only focus on the one game. I think it's easy to get carried away and think of the game Saturday, but we knew it'd be a tough test up north. So we had to put in a real professional shift, and I think all the boys done that.
Yeah, and you know, all the boys pulling together. We spoke to your gaffer Neil Smith a few weeks back, and he was very positive about the way everybody was you know pulling together as a team. And there's also been some great support from all the local businesses this week. They clubbed together to cover the cost of the coaches for supporters this week after the original game had been called off so close to kickoff. There seems to be a proper community spirit going on at Bromley nowadays.
Yeah, I mean, the way the club's heading and the support we've had from obviously the local businesses and the supporters around the town, it's been unbelievable. The fans especially, the season we've had and the travelling we've had to do, it does take a lot for them to come every week, especially to the away games. And I just think it shows such a togetherness of a community that the businesses will put on coaches for the fans, Joe, especially for free, and the fans that have spent all this money supporting the club.
Yeah, and we often talk about this conflict between Cup and League form. I mean, but your form appears to be really good at the moment, but you're already beginning to fall behind on the number of games that you've played, already, I think, two games behind those above you that are in the playoffs. Yeah. And now you've got two weekends with a Cup action that leaves you further behind. In reality, is the focus now, has that got to be the trophy with your smaller squad and so many games to play in a short space of time?
But it's a tough one because we've obviously the games behind us and the Cup run going on. I think it does take a lot out of a team. But the way we've been all year and the way we continue to be is always take one game at a time. And to be fair, our coaches, our managers, and our fitness coach and the physio have really pulled together and got the best out of us week in, week out. And I honestly think, you know, with the run we ended with last year, which was 10 games where we really pulled out some performances, I think the club could finish strong.
Swampy.
Yeah, well, thanks, Tim. You've actually preempted all my questions during that little bit there. But I'll say first and foremost, I thought it was an absolute tremendous result for you, to be honest, against Spennymoor, a team that you know, I like to watch. They've been in our division, and I saw them last season. And it's to go up there as well. You now know how difficult that pitch is to play on, and to get that result, I think, was fantastic. So I can imagine how pleased you are, A, to get it out of the way, and secondly, to get to the next round and just, you know, that sniff away from Wembley now. I want to say that I also agree with you in the respect of, you know, you play 35 games. That means those two games, if you can win those games that you have above everybody else above you, puts you in 61 points, you know, so you'd overtake Dover into the playoffs. And if you win if you can win this two-legged affair, that's got to breed even more confidence in the team. The question I've got, though, is as a player who is going to be two games away from Wembley and as the skipper as well, let's say it just go wrong, how do you pick yourself up for that last, you know, throw to get into the playoffs for the rest of the season?
If things did go wrong, I mean, it's a big blow for everyone. But I can tell you the squad we have and the players that the management have pulled together is something you dream about. And leading these boys has been unbelievable. And I can tell you, as a fact that even if the worst did come to worst and we did get knocked out, the league and the boys will all come together and we will make that final push. And I honestly believe that we can make the playoffs. I think we deserve it as well. So it's just, you know, we look at a game at a time, and if the worst comes to worst, we'll do it as we have the whole season.
Yeah, and to be fair, I agree with you too, because what I feel about it, Jack, is that if the worst was to happen and you lose the semi-final, your season's not over. A lot of people are in this position when they get to the semi-final, their season's finished. You're still very much alive. So it's not all the eggs in one basket. I think you're in a really good position that way. You're going to have to deal with the fatigue and the fact of a million games. But, you know, for me, I want to ask you about the old one about being at home in the first leg and then having, obviously, to travel. You're going to have to travel up there next week. How are you about that? Is that fine with you?
That's fine with me. I know some people might, they might want to play away first and get the home tie at second leg at home. I personally am happy with the home leg first. I think, you know, we especially because we have a 4G pitch and we, some teams, you know, feel differently about a 4G pitch. But personally, I think the home crowd getting behind us and, you know, our home advantage, I think will be an advantage on Saturday.
Yeah, and it's one of them. You talk about the game at a time, and you know you're not the first man to say that in football, believe me. But people say it all the time because it makes sense. But for me, there's not much in the semi-final. I would say that between the two clubs, there's not an awful lot. But there's a division between you and the other two semi-finalists. So in many respects, whoever wins your tie will go into the final as firm favourites. And you're the captain of a football club going into a final, walking up them steps possibly to win it, to pick a trophy up, which is every child's, every man's dream, you know. So has Neil tried to put you in the bubble to keep you away from all that stuff? How does the group react to that sort of stuff? You know, the draw and, wow, beat them and we're in and we'll surely win it. How have you dealt with all that within the group?
The gaffer never, as long as I've been at Bromley, and which has been a while, has never let anyone get too ahead of themselves. We know the opportunity that's ahead of us. Obviously, after getting through Saturday into the final, we know there's a chance and of winning it. And he always just thinks of the next game. And I know we said it already, and it seems a bit of a cliche thing, but it is, for every single one of our squad, the next game is the biggest game of our year. It has been all year, and that's the way we've led our season. And it seems to be doing well for us so far. But honestly, I think, as each player is ingrained in us now, that we don't look any further than the next game. And that's what we'll continue to do.
Yeah, and that's probably why you're being successful. If you genuinely can do that, it's a massive thing to have from your squad, to be fair. That's me finished, Tim. Sorry, I was hogging it a bit there, but it's interesting.
That's unlike you, Dave, hogging the conversation. Well, it's been fantastic having you on, Jack, and I appreciate you giving us out your time. It's pretty, you're probably looking to chill out ahead of this game, but as you say, there's much ahead, and Neil seems to be keeping your feet on the floor. We wish you well for the weekend, and hopefully we'll be speaking to you later on in the season when you've got some more results under your belt.
Good luck.
Thank you. Cheers.
The one thing to bear in mind, lads, is Gates said that the last two games, and I didn't really want to mention this in front of him because he can listen back to it when it's out on the radio. They won 7-1 on Saturday, in a phenomenal amount of goals, and then they drew 2-2 with a really struggling Solihull, who have been desperate for points. So they scored 9 goals in 2 games, and as you say, the two teams that know each other inside out, the same division, only a few points between the two of them. We now know that we've got one team from the National League and one team from the National South or the National North going into the final. But it's going to be an interesting game, really. Bromley have done exceptionally well to get where they are. And
you can't, Tim, you can't call them. I think over two legs, you would hope that the best team wins. But, well, yeah. You know, cup football is about moments. Every game of football is about moments, you know, the big moments, you know, and tends to happen in both boxes. And the fact that you scored seven last week, it doesn't really take a lot into this week. You know, it can nearly, as a manager, I used to think, I used to make a point of making the lads aware that was last week, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And you know what I'm thinking?
I think the old North-South thing's brilliant as well, you know, proper South, proper North, you know? And there'll be two proper ties, you know?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. As I say, you know, to beat Spennymoor, and I know I've spoken on the show about Spennymoor on many occasions, and the management team up there at Spennymoor have done such a great job. I mean, it's one of the hardest pitches to play on, and they play great football. And to get a result as they did, I think, is one of the results of the tie. I think we spoke about it when Spennymoor went down to Bromley, and they got a great result. And then obviously we had the trials and tribulations of game on, game off, game on, game off, game on, game off. And eventually it goes ahead. And I thoroughly expected, in fairness, Spennymoor to win the game. Not convincingly, but to win the game and go into the semi-final. And, you know, for me, a team that does that against Spennymoor Town, I've got every chance to get into the final, because they're a tough outfit to play against.
And so to the FA Vars. On Saturday, Mask United hosts fellow Northern Leaguer Stockton Town in the first leg of their semi-final, only they won't. A tough but very sensible decision was taken this week by Mask, with agreement from the FA as they switch the tie to Stockton and will play both legs of the semi-final there on their 3G pitch. As Mark Harkin, the Mask United chairman, can explain now. Good evening, Mark.
Good evening. Good evening, Tim.
Now, that's got to be one of the toughest decisions to make as a chairman, isn't it, a big game like this?
Yes. The most important thing, though, we've seen that the game played with our current fixture backlog. And the overall view was that it would be best to get the game set aside and we could just press on with both the league and the FA Vars games as planned.
Well, that's it. And I mean, chairmen often get a bad press, but for once, certainly much praise for yourself and the committee and football authorities on making a decision that was in the best interest of football.
Yes. To be fair, when I spoke with the FA competitions manager on Monday, sent him through some photographs and outlined what our problem was, they were very supportive in us looking for other grounds. We tried to find a neutral venue, but the local pitches are on similar Northern League grounds, and we even approached a National League ground in Hartlepool Town, Hartlepool United. They actually couldn't help us because their pitches were suffering with the bad weather as well.
Mark, as an ex football manager, did you speak to your manager about the decision?
Yes, everything I do is with the manager and with the best intentions of the team. So I've been in this
Mark,
position.
What did he have to say?
Sorry.
What did he? Can you tell us how that went? The conversation.
Yes, we've had multiple postponements, and we've only played one home game since the 23rd of December, and we've borrowed two pitches to play two other games.
Wow!
And we've only had six games since Christmas. So he's very keen. We've a backlog of nine games. We're second in the league on. I think it's 61 points. We've got nine games in hand on the team that's top, and I think they're on 79 points at the moment. So we've got a lot to play for still in the league. But if we'd let this game slip in terms of it moved back a week, we would then have had two games on the Tuesday and the Thursday to fit in between the two legs. So he didn't want, you know, to physically stress the players out in terms of those games, and we wanted to give ourselves on all fronts the best opportunity that we could. And taking the decision to play it at Stockton's ground, whilst the FA describes as they thought it was unprecedented, it's got the game on, which is the main thing. We've rain in the northeast at the moment, and the goal mouths are still full of standing water, despite the work that the ground staff have put in.
And how far is the journey, Mark?
Oh, the journey is probably less than 10 miles. And what we did, again, we've laid for five coaches, so the fans will arrive at the clubhouse absolutely normal. I think between 12:30 and 2 o'clock, the last coach leaves, and they will be ferried over. And two of the club sponsors have agreed to pick up the costs for that, which is very
Swampy.
All right, sorry, Mark. First and foremost, congratulations on getting this far in the competition. I've got an affinity and a love of northeast football. I've spent a lot of time up in the northeast, enjoying the qualities that are on show at all levels of the football. Couple of questions, really. No one's ever really to be answer this, but what? Why is it, and how do we have such a great tradition of northeast teams that have graced Wembley on so many occasions over the last 15 to 20 years?
The honest answer, and there's two sides to this discussion, and I'm quite happy to give you my opinion. You're possibly aware of the way the FA are looking to restructure football.
That was going to be my second question.
Right. I'll happily go back or whichever. But basically, with us being sort of quite remote, you know, I've actually looked at this season. We are forced to take the move, and this will be the first time it's been done. Prior to that, you had to apply for consideration, I believe, in December for promotion into step four. That we will have 4,800 miles of travelling to places as far away as Colwyn Bay, numerous games over on the west coast around Manchester, Bolton, and Burnley and whatnot. Very similar to teams that we've played in the FA Vars so far, and there has been a reluctance for teams possibly to take that step because of the cost involved. And you know what it's like with grassroots football. Every pound is very precious in what you do, and you've got pressures of facilities and so on so forth to maintain and try and portray yourself as a professional club at this level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know the league have said now it's going to be an east-west situation. So I think the furthest you would go down if you get promoted this season, obviously, you know, Morpeth currently, we had them on about a month ago talking to the chairman and about costs. As it stood, we know that there was a conversation that they wanted to have with the FA and your league wanted to do that. But it's now been stated that it's going to be an east-west division, which actually helps you out a little bit more rather than the Colwyn Bays. I think the furthest you would go is probably about Scarborough. On one side, and so you save yourself a little bit of travelling than you would if it was from last season. But are you geared up then yourselves? Because we know the Morpeth chairman was very reluctant and was looking at a financial side of things. Are you geared up to move up to that next level now if you do get promoted this season?
It's something that we've had to look at, and we've done some sort of early stage planning. I'll not deny it will be very difficult. You've got different requirements on your players. You've got different requirements in terms of how you travel because of the distance you travel in, the leaving earlier. We've four teachers in our team. You know, very very good players. But generally can't get away till 4 o'clock. So if we're at Tadcaster or, you know, it's even been muted that there's a team from Peterborough would be in the east-west split, which I know the Morpeth chairman had mentioned. That was a single trip of 276 miles or so. So it is difficult. You immediately, we come out of the Vars where we have a level of success and some sort of you know, fee income from actually winning games, and we go straight into the FA Trophy. So therefore, you know, we've drawn against, you know, Premier League sides, we've drawn against Conference, you know, North sides in the initial stages, and you don't really, you can't plan for any success at that level. So it is very difficult. Both teams, Spennymoor Town, you know, most notably of they stayed in and didn't take promotion for a number of seasons till they felt they'd got it right, both on and off the pitch, and they've moved up, and they've been very successful in moving up through the leagues. Darlington have done the same, but Darlington were a team, as you'll be familiar with, had a very good pedigree.
Yeah, of course, yeah. Well, listen, final question from me then, obviously, because it's FA Vars, it's a place at Wembley at stake. When you play the game, as the home team at the opposition ground, will you be in the home dressing room, or will the home, the away team, even though it's a home ground, be in the home dressing room?
Yeah. Stockton Town, I have to say, have been excellent, and we will be the home team wearing our home strip and getting changed in the home team dressing room.
Fantastic.
Everything is organised, and they've laid on the facilities, and they've laid on several key members of staff. But we will man the tickets, we will do the stewarding, and we will do all the other aspects that we need to, in terms of as if we were hosting the game at our ground. That's the way it's worked out, and that's very good for both sides.
Fantastic. Well, very good luck to you both. It's going to be an intriguing tie and something slightly different, yeah. And I'm sure it'll catch the imagination. And very good luck from my perspective, I think, I'll hand you back to Tim.
Thank you, Swampy. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark for coming on and joining us. It's great to hear a big game like this, and it's great to hear the tale of non-league coming together and helping each other
Absolutely, Tim.
Yeah. I have to say that, the initial response, whilst I didn't expect to get the reply I did, Stockton Town in this instance have been fantastic, as have other clubs who we tried to get neutral grounds at, and have all said, look, we'd love to put it on but can't for ground reasons and so forth.
Well done on making the sensible decision, getting the game played, and we wish you well in both the legs, and hopefully we'll catch up with you later on this season. Thanks again, Mark.
Okay, thank you. Bye now.
One of those proper tales from non-league. You wouldn't get that in the Premier League, would you?
That's brilliant. I think the respect between the two clubs, and they're both going into it's got to be, if not the biggest games of their history. It's got to be close to it. To sort it out the way they have, I think is it's excellent, that Mark's. The way Mark sort of turned it over to us and told us how it happened, it's excellent. It's something that should be made. It shouldn't just be on the non-league show. It should be on every show that there is in football, and sort of go, look, after the bitterness and some of the rubbish we've seen over the previous weeks, it'd be nice to sort of see that publicised better.
I think you're right, but I think what you get is this is something that's commonplace, isn't it? In our sort of like level of football, and just slightly above and below, it's when the footballing family is really exactly what it says, and it's nice to, again as always, get a couple of northeastern teams competing. What's interesting, the theme of the night has been all the teams that have been in and around pretty much. These semi-finals have also, if it doesn't work out for them, got leagues to try and get promoted from as well. It's not a question of they've just got one goal this season. They're actually in a position where perhaps they can get promotion as well. Certainly two or three of the teams have spoken to. So, it's great to hear. 3G pitch, it means the game's going to be definitely on, both home and away. And there'll be hopefully a bumper crowd there. And that'll be a groundhopper game to go to, wasn't it? Where the home team with the away team, and the away team with the home team, and the home team was in the away dressing room, and the away team was in the home dressing room. And it'd be an interesting one. And who produces? I wonder who produces the one. Who produces the programmes? Do they both do one each? That's a question.
You know, there's things that you find fascinating, Swampy, that I. we're on different wavelengths sometimes. Let me know if you find out.
That's no surprise, to be honest, Dave. Let's be honest.
Brilliant.
Right, chaps, should we move on to another game in the Vars? This time, Hellenic Leaguers Thatcham Town. They entertain Northwest County's Premier League side, 1874 Northwich. Hopefully, breaking off from his training session with his players tonight to join us is Thatcham manager Danny Robinson. Good evening, Danny.
Yeah, good evening. How are you? You all right?
I'm good. Now, the last training session before the big day. Now, how are they all looking? Dave Anderson normally predicts that for these sort of games, every little niggly injury has disappeared and they've all reported themselves fully fit. Is that right?
It's amazing. I didn't have one person that was late tonight. Absolutely amazing it was. Normally, we get a few late ones or straggling saying,
my bosses keeping me late now. They're all bang on time and everybody was here. So, yeah, no, it's good. They're all excited. Obviously, we've had a good training session and now we're just looking forward to Saturday now.
Swampy, I think you've got a question.
Yeah, I'm just saying, first of all, big game on Saturday, big game for you on Saturday. But I was going to just go away from that for a moment or two and just talk about your league form, because 27 games unbeaten, three draws within that, 98 goals this season, not conceding. Shane Cooper-Clark, you know, you're a main threat target man, scoring loads of goals for you. I mean, you can't possibly lose this game, can you?
I think Northwich will have probably something to say about that. But we are in good form. We are in good form. You know, it's a pleasure to work with. We have our 20 players here. Always say that I can throw a blanket over all of them and pick out a good 11 still. And cheers. We're just, you know, at the moment we are. I would say we're hitting just form at probably hopefully the business end of the season. And, you know, obviously every manager across the land strives for consistency. And one thing we have been lately is very consistent. So hopefully, fingers crossed, that can continue. Obviously, we've got a massive, massive game, obviously, Saturday. And we know that Northwich are a very, very good side. And it's, like I say, it's a game that we're very much looking forward to.
Dave?
Yeah, no, I mean, the first thing I want to say, Danny, is, you know, make sure you sort yourself out and win, because you're now the Southern representative in the competition. Swampy's getting three Northerners, so I want to make sure you win. So make sure you do that. But sir, and I'm serious as well. Let me tell you, slaughter me if you don't. But you know, I'm always interested in situations like this. Is we spoke earlier to a couple of the conference clubs, and Kevin Wilkin has been to Wembley before, where Wrexham, I think, off the top of my head. So he's done that before. But not many people at your level will have been to Wembley. And I don't think you've been yourself. So as a manager, you're always trying to lead your players and give them the confidence and the know-how, and basically because you've got the T-shirt and the wardrobe. How do you deal with this one?
It's about keeping people, I think, their feet on the ground. I think obviously sometimes players can get carried away a little bit. I think sometimes, you know, they can definitely look further ahead than obviously what's in front of them. Me myself, I'm quite a grounded individual anyway. You know, until the last whistle was blown after 180 minutes against Northwich, you know, we can be a million miles away from Wembley. So at the end of the day, it is you know, who prepares well, who has, you know, the best, who is the better team over the two legs. My lads, they're a confident bunch. They always have been. They have been right throughout the season, and obviously rightly so as well. But it is, we got one thing, they do have a wonderful work hard ethos, you know, within us, and hopefully, fingers crossed, that will still continue. Yeah, it is. As I grew up watching, you know, Wembley FA Cup day. It was a whole day event. It was massive. It was huge. You know, being an Arsenal fan, we got there, but not obviously a few times. Obviously, not much recently, right? It is. Everybody dreams about being involved and being at Wembley. But like I said, you know, we go out in the semi-final. No one remembers the semi-finals, do they? So it's just up to us if we can, you know, do that one step further.
Yeah, and Swampy, I just want to okay. One more. In the fact that, you know, with you doing so well, Danny, in the league and obviously in the FA, in the VAS semi-final, it draws attention to your squad and indeed yourself, you know, but they just like to talk about the squad. But do you find, because you're, it must be a nice position to be, because I think if you're doing well in the league and you're scoring goals and you're on these runs, there's people above you will come fishing for your better players. It's just the nature of the beast that we, you know, football. Has this helped you a little bit to keep the group together? Because no one wants to walk out on the possibility of playing at Wembley.
It's kept the season alive. Obviously, we're still in a great position within the league as well. Obviously, that helps massively. We're still in two other cups as well, two quarter finals as well. So it does. The FA Vars, as a manager, it's a wonderful character to have.
he's a wonderful character to have. And don't get me wrong, I've used and abused it all the time. But, you know, it is. I'd rather have these problems. You know, the FA VAR is a brilliant distraction from, you know, the nitty-gritty of the league, which is obviously still maintained is the most important. And, of course, you know, it is. You've had a few clubs obviously come down to Waterside Park and have a look, and everybody sees, you know, obviously with the media attention and everything like that, obviously strength goals and, you know, the clean sheets and things like that. It is, of course, it draws attention. But I must admit, touch wood, you know, I've not had a grumble or anything that's come in lately. And like I said, I very much doubt, obviously, any player would leave. You know, any four of the VAR's teams, they'd be silly too, wouldn't they?
Danny, one of the questions I have for you actually is in relation to into AFC, 1874 North, which is they've only played 21 games this season. They've got a huge backlog, and I know they've got six games in the next 14 games, of which two against you. Have you had a chance really to have a look at them because of the very few games they've played this season? And secondly, we've just been talking about the other semi-final, where he's actually going to the one of the team's grounds rather than being a home and away fixture because of the weather. Do you know whether you're going to be playing at the Winsford, or is it more likely to be at Wincham Park, the home of Witton Albion, who they've been playing a few of their last games at?
Yeah, no, the second leg's going to be played at Witton Albion. We've had that confirmed. I actually managed. It's about 3.5-hour journey up to Ashton Athletic a couple of Tuesdays ago. much to my wife's delight, and I managed to get up there and obviously watch them and just admire them. Really, how, you know, they are a very good side. In the meantime, between that one, I'm lucky enough to have a scout that does do the mileage for me, and he has done, and he has seen them as well. So I feel like we're suitably prepared. I know Northwich, we played Windsor on Monday night. They had a chap down here as well, so they'd be in the same boat as us. But like I say, come 3 o'clock, it's just 11v11, and whoever performs the best.
Yeah, that's very, very true. And it's testament to this competition, the fact that you know, you're prepared to travel the length and breadth of the country to watch your opposition, because it means that much to where you as a manager, and I'm sure to the players and the supporters, that you've got to put in the time, haven't you? You've got to put in the hours and the miles to make sure that you're ready and prepared for the opposition, whoever it may be.
Yeah, I'm a great believer. You reap what you sow. You know, the hard work, as any manager, non-league manager or any manager will tell you, throughout the summer, you're trying to get players signed on. You're trying to keep what you want to keep from the previous season, trying to go and attract new players. And, you know, you work ever so hard, then you go out and watch sides. When the semi-finals are the FA VARs, I'm not going to risk, you know, not going up there and watching. Most definitely not. I believe that is my job. You know, my job is to relay information back to my lads and set up a game plan and everything like that. And if I've done that, then it's quite easy for me then to look my players in the eye and say, well, you've been given every bit of information that I've physically got, and now it's down to you to implement you how I want you to play. So, you know, a manager never stops. You know, I think restless nights, sleepless nights. You know, the worst bit is that, you know, we have to leave players out or see the squad on Saturday as well. But once again, that's the job you're in, and you do. I very much believe if you work hard, then in the end, and eventually, you know, good things will happen to you.
Yeah, Dave asked a question very earlier on to one of our guests, and the question was FA VARs or promotion? And you only get a chance of one, according to Dave, so I'm going to ask the same question to you.
I can't say both, no. I can't say both, no.
You're not allowed to say both. Dave won't allow you.
Me personally, Fratrum is, you know, bar the past 3 years, they've always been a Southern League club. And my remit is to get them back into the Southern League. So I will say, you know, I want to get promoted. I want to get back up into the Southern League. But on the flip side of that, you could ask probably my assistant manager, and you could probably ask half the players, well, the majority of players, and they will probably say, oh, let's get to Wembley and the VARs because it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So, but, you know, that memories are built, you know, winning leagues, winning FA Cups, or, you know, getting to the finals and things and everything like that. hopefully, fingers crossed, we can have a few more memories at the end of the season.
That's a great answer. You managed to get them both in there. Well done.
Yeah, good answer. The other thing, Danny, is it takes you, like, your game's all ticket. That won't be something that happens every week. And I imagine when you go to the away game at Witten, it'll be rammed to the roof. How do you think your players will react to that? That's not an everyday occurrence.
As in going up to
I mean about both grounds being full houses. Surely they won't have done that.
We obviously the previous round before Melksham in the quarters, we had Bromsgrove Sporting, and they're an unbelievable, you know, supported side. So they brought a fair few to Waterside Park. It was a great atmosphere. You know, we played played in front of 2,000, I think it's about 2,200 in the end, against Melksham in the quarters. And, you know, we won both games and we played quite well in both games. So I'd like to think, you know, the players that I've got here do perform well, you know, on the bigger stage and everything like that. I alluded to earlier, I have a confident bunch of players that, you know, they will play in front of that and that they will thrive under, you know, the raucous crowd or, you know, a loud crowd. The amount of tickets that's been sold here is phenomenal. I think, fingers crossed, we might break our highest ever attendance. The buzz of the town is unbelievable. You know, you just have to walk around the local high street and you see all the posters and flags and pictures and, you know, the scarves and everything that people are wearing. It's brilliant. It's been brilliant for the town. And like I say, now it's just us to do our bit and, you know, see if we can go one step further.
Yeah, well, good luck to you. Listen, before he jumps in, I'm right on your side, Danny, all right?
Good man, thank you.
Listen, Daddy, just because I'm from the north and we've got more teams in the competitions doesn't mean to say that I'm not impartial. I'm clear. Just very quickly, I don't want to leave it a sour note, to be honest, but I just wanted to ask a question. Obviously, there was a number of incidents that the last game wasn't in the quarterfinal. I know the club statement was very, very positive and they were going to make sure that everything's being dealt with. But does that mean there's been a slightly extra financial cost to you, maybe with more policing and so on and so forth for this game? Or is it just business as usual?
Yeah, no, most definitely. The security's been heightened. Like you say, it's quite foreign for teams at this level to be, you know, to deal with, you know, an influx. You know, our normal average crowd is between 150 and 200. So to get, you know, 1,500, you know, potentially Saturday, yeah, of course. The chairman, the vice chairman, the director of football, they've worked so hard. You know, there is extra security that will be here. There will be a police presence here. But, you know, Fratrum is a family club. You know, one thing I always say is, you know, the players, obviously their wives, their girlfriends, the kids, they're all running around, you know, any normal game. It is a very family. It's run by a family, you know, the football club. And it is like a big family that we are. So, trouble-wise, you know, it's just minor incidences. You know, people turning up, probably jumping on the bandwagon a little bit. And, you know, don't come and support us away from home in the big week in the league, or come support us at home. You know, it's just people that's, you know, that sometimes they turn up and they have a few too many drinks and, you know, act a little bit silly. But in all, I must admit, 99.9% of people that come and support us have been magnificent. And
yeah, that's what I think we're going to get across as a family club as you are.
Swami, I just want to tell Danny, there's a little saying I'll tell you and you can tell the lads. And you have to remember this in football. It doesn't matter how beautiful the rose bush is, there's always a couple of pricks, okay? And there's not much you can do, you know.
Exactly.
And on that note, Danny, we'll leave you to go and prepare for your big game at the weekend. And you know, it's been fantastic talking to you. We will keep an eye on how things are going the rest of the season, and probably catch up with you again before the end. But thanks for your time, and best of luck.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Well,
chaps.
Listen. I want to say. I am tongue-in-cheek obviously I want the southern side to do well, but, you know, I am, if anybody up north listening, and I do go up there then again, it only is tongue-in-cheek, and I hope you realise that, you know.
Yeah, well, we know that. Just a quick one, lads. Just, I mean, in relation to 1874, as I said, they're a club only played 21 games this season. They've been ground sharing with Winsford United, who were a couple of famous ex-players from Winsford. One, my father, Desmond Bennett, who played for them at the very end of his career. But Neville Southall was the goalkeeper when my dad retired from Winsford United. Wow. And they were very gracious in doing a ground share with them. But unfortunately, the ground is just... I think there's been 24 postponements there this season. So the football families come together. Wincham Park, the home of Witton Albion, the arch nemesis arrival. It's akin to Manchester City giving their ground over to United after the war. And that's basically because there's no love lost between the two football clubs, because basically they're both sort of like one's about 200 yards if you go down a canal path and over a bridge, and that's where Northwich Victoria used to be. And Wincham Park is on the right-hand side. But clubs coming together in 1874 have been looked after tremendously well by Witton Albion. And as I say, it's a great football surface as well at Witton Albion. So it'll be a really good second leg, that. And if the pitch is in good condition, as it normally is, it'll be a really cracking game and a really good atmosphere. But again, the footballing family coming together, helping out other clubs. And, you know, it's nice to see.
Yeah, well said, son.
It is nice to see, and it's been nice to talk to you both. But we've run out of time. Well, we've gone beyond running out of time, actually. it's time to say thank you, Dave. Thank you, Swampy.
Pleasure,
Tim.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you to all the guests and everybody that listened, and a proof that Swampy and Dave do exist, because they try and talk over each other. Don't forget, you can. Don't forget, you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and you can put our podcast on your website. Check out the embeddable player at www.nonleaguefootballshow.com. Thank you and goodbye.
Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA.